You are listening to the Passion City Church DC podcast. To learn more about Passion City Church, including our gathering times in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., visit us online at passioncitychurch.com.
All right. Okay. Well, hey, church family, it is great to see you guys. It's good to be back. I was gone at Passion Camp, by the way, which was awesome. Yeah. We got to minister to thousands of high school, middle school students down in Florida. It was unbelievable and just such a fun moment for our house to minister to not just our church, but churches from all over. They gathered together, and so it was an awesome time just getting fried on the beach, but in the name of Jesus. But it's awesome to be back and be here with you guys. This is fun. I'm excited about today, what we're going to do today. I think most of you know today's a little bit different. I think all of you know that the last couple years, a decade and a bit, the rapid changes in technology and the rapid changes, particularly in social media, have profoundly impacted the way human beings interact with each other. Not all of it bad, some of it good, and yet there's an increasing amount of data that shows correlation between the usage of social media and the increase in depression, anxiety, anger, and a decrease in actually dating and marriage and birth rates. So it's fascinating the way social media, the internet, has impacted the way we as human beings intersect with each other, and particularly the youngest among us, those 20s and below. So that's one of the reasons, there are several, that I'm excited about the friends that we got here with us today, folks, because they have been swimming in those waters and have managed to not be drowned by them, but to survive in them and even thrive in them. And so I think their story can be an inspiration to us. And so she is a New York Times best-selling author. She is a speaker, influencer, the founder of Live Original, this amazing online community for young women. She is the host of an incredible podcast. Whoa, that's good. He has been on the ride, man. Just finished college and then got married and became a father, is rolling, and then launched a men's ministry and has a successful podcast of his own that talks to men about the intersection of faith and family and fitness. And so these guys are getting after it. And so I know that you will join me with a huge welcome for Christian and Sadie Huff, everybody. Come on. Guys, thank y'all. Hey guys. Come on, yeah. All
What's
right.
Up, Have a seat. How are we doing?
Oh, we on?
My God. How are we doing, church?
Hey, okay. Beep beep. All right. I would like to begin with a quote that you put in your book, Sadie, because you just wrote a book about social media. It was a quote, actually, I'll quote you later, but this was a quote from Mr. Rogers. Fame is a four-letter word, like tape or Zoom or face or pain or life or love. What ultimately matters is what we do with it. I quote that because I'll tell you one of the things that I really like about you two and respect about you is you've had influence, you've had fame, and you can take that in any number of directions. And you two have made the decision to take the influence you have and aim it not just at you, but aim it at what matters most, to help people know God, to hope in Him, trust Him, to love Jesus. And I respect that a lot. And I think the world should see that. And so I love what you're doing with your life, the choices you've made. So I love y'all for a lot of reasons, but I just love that about you. And so just wanted to say that up top, right out front. And
you can cheer.
That was good. You could have clapped for that, yeah. I think my daughter did. Great. So you two are, in many ways, ideal representatives of your, I was about to say people group, your age group. You know, you're young, fit, fun, successful, dance on social media. You're like so many your same age, but you are different than them profoundly in two ways. One, that the intersection of your life and social media, you've been able to navigate without really losing your mind. And then two, you got married in your 20s, which is shocking, basically based on the stats. So we want to talk about social media and we want to talk about your your dating and your love life. So so that's where we're headed, folks.
Which, by the way, I know he is not going to like us saying this, but when Christian and I started dating, this is such a full circle moment. We read this guy's book, Single, Dating, Engaged, Married,
true.
And now
yeah.
we're here talking about relationships. So really, a lot of what we're saying is what he said, you know?
Yeah, there it is. Awesome.
And Sadie brought the book, but left it at the hotel.
I brought it to show y'all how much he tore apart that book. And y'all, I great. Noticed when
with
he was
writing.
Pursuing me, I was reading the book too, and I'm like, this guy is literally following every word Ben Stewart is saying. But you know, I like that because I was like, if he can follow instruction from a book, then he can follow the word of God. I was seeing some correlation
okay.
here, and I was
all
like,
right.
I'm liking what I'm seeing.
Evaluate this guy.
Yeah. You're basically the reason that we're married.
There it is. Okay, come on. Yeah, right.
The vast majority.
I think you did something. Yeah.
Okay. But for real,
well,
real fast, y'all really have two incredible pastors in Ben and Donna, and can we just give it a second to honor them?
That's
truly. Y'all have incredible pastors, and not just that, y'all have an incredible church. I mean, we've been yeah. here for, what, an hour, and what you read in Acts is what you see in this house.
Yeah.
I mean, you just see the church be the church. When he said four people offered him a room, like, that's the church. That's
yes.
what it's supposed to look like. And so, man, I'm glad y'all are in this house. It's awesome.
And I was going to say, not only are they good pastors, but they're actually good people.
Right.
Oh, great.
Well, I'm saying people can be yeah. good preachers and pastors, but they're not genuine. They're not actually good people. You're a very genuine guy. So.
Yeah.
Very appreciative of that.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. All right, so enough about me, kids. I was like, what am I talking about? Oh, yeah. So Sadie, you just wrote, which I read, by the way. I told her downstairs. I was like, you're in the right business because you're a very good author. And I was reading your book, this one, Who Are You Following?, about social media. And you have, disturbing stats at the beginning of you know, how prolific social media has been in our life and then some of the negative effects that have come from it. So I want to ask you some questions about you and how you've navigated, but just to start, like what prompted you to want to speak to that? What do you see in your generation, in the world generally, that prompted you to want to move and say something?
Yeah, that's great. Well, you know, a lot of people have social media, probably all of us. Is everybody, raise your hand if you have social media.
Yeah.
Okay. Pretty much everybody in the room has social media or has had it at one point or another. And I feel like, you know, I'm someone that always wants to ask advice from people, like mentors, call a mentor, hey, I'm kind of struggling with this right now. What do you have to speak into this? All this kind of stuff. And I started noticing that social media is so unique because it's the one thing that we're going through in life that our parents actually can't relate to. Like, our mentors actually didn't go through it whenever they were our age. We are the first generation to have this and to hit it head on. And so it's not like you can ask, you know, your 6-year-old mentor, hey, whenever you had social media and people were roasting you and blah, 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 like, what did you do? Or whenever you had social media and all your friends were posting about a party that they're at that you were invited to, how did you navigate that? Or how did you navigate not wanting to post pictures that were inappropriate because it gets more attention and all of those different things that we kind of struggle with.
Yeah.
And so I was like, man, I don't. You know, it's intimidating to think I could bring wisdom to this, but I do understand that God has put me on a platform to, face social media head on. Since I was 14, my family's been in the public eye. So I've had social media for 10 years on a large platform scale. So I've had to understand it and navigate it. But what was really cool is when I was reading the Word of God, I realized, wow, I don't even have to give my own advice. Literally, Jesus speaks to the things that we're facing when it comes to social media. And it was just kind of funny that Jesus literally used the verbiage when he, you know, talks to his disciples to follow him. And I was like, that's funny because we follow each other all the time. And, you know, obviously it looks so different to follow Jesus and to follow someone on social media. But I thought, you know, man, maybe if we can, you know, incorporate some of the principles of what it looks like to follow Jesus in our life on social media, it would be great. And even the things that Jesus speaks to when he says, you know, you're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. It says no, people don't light a lamp and put it under a stand. So when I read that, I was like, you know, the answer to the church for social media is don't delete it. You know, I think a lot of times we just go, well, it's horrible. Everybody delete it. Well, you're not going to get the whole world to delete social media. And you also don't want to take the church out of social media. And so how do we be the light of the world? You know, not of the world, but in, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So put the light on top of the stand so that it gives light to everyone in the house. And then it says in that verse, in the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
Yeah.
I just love that verse in the context of social media. Don't delete it. You know, sometimes you need to take a break from it. I actually just did that. But, you know, be in it and be the light of the world in it. And the same way that people are going to see your light just as they're scrolling on their feed, people will see your Father through you. It's just been incredible to see just posts I've made that people are just scrolling on their feed. And I've had so many God stories of things that have happened through Instagram, through social media, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. And so I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I just think, you know, it's a reflection of how healthy we are because social media is what we make it.
Yes, that's good. Yeah. Well, and I've seen that, that awareness. What am I going to do with this tool? I think your intentionality with that is valuable. I think a lot of people, a lot of us, you just kind of slump into it and don't ask the question, what am I contributing? But I want to read something too that you wrote in your book. About you navigating social media, it says, you describe a time in your life when you said, I was welcoming into my life anxiety, stress, insecurity, uncertainty, discontent, which are all things that people are reporting is they're experiencing on social media. And you said you were right there, again, like your generation. But then you wrote, but I don't feel that anymore. There's hope. I'm not perfect, but I feel the fruit of Jesus in my life. I truly have joy, peace, and love dwelling within me. And I don't have to filter my life or alter my caption to make it seem better than it is. I'm truly happy. How did you do that?
So it's crazy because like that, I remember literally writing that and being shocked that I was able to write that.
Okay.
Because I never would have thought that would be true for me. Because I was so discontent and I was so anxious all the time and I was so... I was honestly very hypocritical when it came to social media in the sense that I was posting that my life was one way and that was not exactly how it was behind the scenes. My caption would have a happy ending, but my life didn't look like the happy ending, you know? Yeah. My pictures were filtered, but, you know, in reality, I was not in the best relationships, didn't have a lot of great friendships. And this was, you know, in high school.
Yeah.
And so I remember just thinking, you know, this is just how it is. But I think a lot of times what we can do is you look around the world and when so many people struggle with something, then you almost think that it's not a struggle anymore, but it's still a struggle. It's like, because everyone's anxious, then it's okay to be anxious. Or because everyone is insecure, then it's okay to be insecure. Because everyone talks bad about people, then it's okay, right? But it's not okay. It's less than the life that God's called us to live. So it's not okay. There's more to the story. There's more to our story. And when you read this, you're like, man, if I'm actually a child of God, if I actually have the Spirit of God living inside of me, then it's gotta be more than that, you know? Yeah. And if God says he hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind, then this isn't right, you know? Yeah. So I just remember feeling like I got to take God at his word. And in doing that, I had to, you know, really surrender a lot of things, turn from a lot of things. Repentance was involved in all of that. And really dive into this word and understand what is the more, you know? Yeah. What are the promises of God? What did God design me for? When I began to understand his word and how to receive those things by being within his word and in his spirit and in his presence, gosh, things started to change for me. Yeah. You know, I mean, I wasn't, my priorities weren't worldly anymore. You know, they were of God. And so, yeah, I mean, I think how you do that is you take God at his word. Yeah. How you do that is you know, I think a lot of us want the promises of God, but we want to live like the world. And to have the promises of God, you got to walk in obedience with the Lord. And man, it's so worth it. Obedience is always worth it. You know, and the world will say, oh, that's not fun. I think it's way more fun. I think it's way more fun to not live with anxiety and to actually be joyful and to not be insecure of every other girl in the room. It's actually way more fun. And so don't let the world paint a negative picture on being obedient to God. Because that's actually where all the fruit is in life. And man, I'm so grateful. And so I remember writing that and thinking, that is gonna shock people because that shocks me.
Yeah.
But the word of God and the revelation of what God can do in your life by bringing dead things to life is a shocking thing.
Yes, yeah.
Man, I was gonna say too, because I'm not gonna tell you what to say, but even just your title, like the who are you following? Like you wrote it because with social media, you just unfollow people, then you follow people back. About faith with Jesus, it's not like, you know, you can just unfollow him and then, you know, So I was going to, I'm not asking
yeah,
you.
No, thanks, Dave. You're setting me up better. I think, yeah, I talk about that in the book, that a lot of times, you know, in life, because we live in a cancel culture, because we live in an unfollow culture, it's like the minute someone says something you don't like, you just unfollow. Cancel, block, delete, never think about it again. And so a lot of times I think we can have that tendency with Jesus. It's like the minute we don't like something or the minute we don't agree with something in the word or something feels off or like, oh, unfollow, not, I'm gonna, you know, follow him in this area of life, but not in this area of life, right? I like what he says there, so I'm with you on that, but not in that. And I think this unwillingness to just commit to the word of God is really, you know, showing in how, you know, if you're not committed, you're not going to get the full fruit of what it's like to follow Jesus. Yeah. And so, man, I just encourage y'all, don't be, you know, unwavering in your faith. Just dive in. If you don't understand something, call a mentor. If you don't understand something, ask the Lord to reveal it to you. Press in. I think that's what makes a beautiful relationship. It's just like Christian and I, when we got married, we committed a covenant relationship for life, you know? So it's not like one day, if I don't like his attitude, I can't just be like, bah, like, no, like we got to sit there and we got to work it out. And that's the kind of relationship that you want with Jesus. And so I think sometimes, you know, because we act one way on social media all day long, it's very hard to then turn and act another way with Jesus. You know, we should get what we have with Jesus and bring that to social media instead of the other way around, but it's hard when that's getting all of your attention.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Well, I think one of the things I liked about it is you talk so much about just the awareness of, okay, you're being influenced. Who you listen to is influencing you. Who you follow is leading you somewhere. It's just worthwhile for us to go, well, then who am I listening to? And do I want to be like them? Who am I following? Do I want to be where they are? Do they know where they are? And just let me be intentional with my life. I'm responsible for my life. Let me be intentional with that. And
I'll say that's such a good point. I think most of it is just being intentional. I think we're just so not intentional when it comes to social media and we just follow everybody. But that was another way of stepping into really the fullness of what God had for me is looking at who I was following and saying, okay, this is not leading me in the direction I want to go. And then in that case, I would unfollow that person. And it's not like, oh, I'm being so mean, I want to unfollow this person. It's like, no, what they are doing in their life or what they're showing on my feed is something that my eyes do not need to see or my heart cannot take, you know? It does not align with the life I'm living for Jesus Christ. And a lot of that was just celebrities I was following. They don't even know I unfollowed them, you know? Yeah. And so it doesn't really matter. You know, people unfollow me all day long. That's okay, you know? Yeah. We get to do that. People, you know, look at someone with a lot of followers and say, oh, must be nice to have a lot of followers. Yeah, you get unfollowed by like thousands of people every day too. You know, there's both sides of it.
It
evens out. But no, it's okay though. It's okay to do that. I think you are responsible for, you know, the life that God's called you to live. And only you can discern what you should see and what you shouldn't and what you need to listen to and what you shouldn't. And I do think that there is something so huge to guarding your heart when it comes to social media, and that intentionality is huge. And, you know, we do follow people all day long, but you got to think about that word follow is that's who's leading, you know? Yeah. You follow the leader. So whoever you're following is leading your life in one way or another. And you just need to check your heart and make sure that's in the right direction.
Yeah,
and we have a lot more control over social media than I think we have. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like we complain about it all the time, but you get to make your profile. You get to choose who you follow. You get to choose what you look at. You get to choose what you like. You get to choose what you look up. So, you know, you really do create your space. Used to, I was always insecure and anxious and my feed was just not very great. And now if you get on my feed, you go to church. Like I'm telling you, like literally you'll hear Christine Kane and then you'll hear Louie and then you'll see, you know, so-and-so writing this amazing caption and then so-and-so's here, but look at the creation she's seeing and look at the Lord. I mean, it's just awesome, you know? Yeah. And so when I'm on social media, it's actually not even a negative space anymore because of what I've shaped it to be and who I follow.
Come on.
But not everyone who follows me necessarily has that same structure. So when they're looking at their feed, it might look like darkness, but man, when they get to my page, I hope they see a light because I also get to choose what I put out to the ones that follow me because I need to understand I'm leading too. And so all of you have to understand you're leading. leading. I put that quote about fame in there because fame is fame. Fame is just a four-letter word. Fame really is what you do to it. People sometimes ask me, are you famous? And I'm like, famous to some, not to others. Clearly not to you, so what does that matter? You know, yeah. Like, what does fame even mean? But everyone is an influencer, and you really need to understand how huge that is. You might not be famous, but you are influencing people. If people follow you, even if it's 100, you're influencing 100 people, and that's not nothing.
Yeah.
That's actually something to think about and something to consider. And so it's not just about who you're following, but it's also about how you're leading. And wow. I think bringing intentionality to all of that makes it a different space.
Yeah. Well, and what I like is, I feel like I talk to a lot of people that when they talk about a lot of social forces, they kind of have more of a victimization posture. I'm just, being brought along these seas. And I like that you're talking about a sense of agency. Yeah, I am responsible to make decisions and am empowered to make decisions for my life. And I wanted to ask y'all about that. I'll tell you one thing I know about y'all that really was one of the things that stood out to me the fastest, just getting to know you, was how quickly and readily available there were scriptures in your mouth, in your statements, and you go, that's because it's in your mind, in your heart. But I'm curious if you could talk a bit about what are some other guidelines, guardrails, rhythms you've put into your life as you interact with social media in general, and just that you go, this has been a healthy rhythm for me, or this is a healthy practice for us to get out of some things and then to promote some of the good things.
That's good. Ready to go?
Yeah, well, for about 2 years or so, I had like a super strict time limit on social media. Yeah. It was like, 15 or 20 minutes maybe a day.
It was 15 minutes, and y'all, I'll set time limits, and I'll just admit in front of the church, I'm always like, add 10 minutes, okay. Yeah. Ignore for the day. This guy never did that for 2 years. It was 15 minutes, and that was all he did. So Christian is really good at disciplining himself in that, and I've learned a lot from him in that
area.
But
it was during COVID, because I knew we have so much time. We're all alone at the house, and that was what was funny about me and Sadie. Like, we dated long distance, we're engaged long distance, got married, and then a month into marriage, we were like, just together
never
every second,
apart.
Every yeah. second, every, there was a few tiffs here and there with that. But yeah, just with social media, I just really needed to with that time, as much time as we were spending together, as much time as we were just by ourselves, if I'm just gonna be mindlessly scrolling through social media, that's not gonna be good for me. Yeah. And whether it's, envious thoughts or jealousy or whatever, because I like to, sometimes I can get on the explore page and I follow a lot of car accounts and stuff. But it's if I get so addicted to that and so consumed with that, then, it's gonna make me, it just puts me in a worldly mindset.
Yeah.
And for me, just putting those time limits on and actually sticking to it helped me more accountable in marriage with, reading the Word of God, with all these other things. And I think people, yeah, I think, like I said, we have control over more than we think. You could even set a time limit for the app, that's yeah. actually a thing. And I think we don't utilize some of these things that yeah. they've actually created that we've just kind of just gone wrong with.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember, this is actually crazy. I didn't think about this before today, but okay, throwback to years ago, I was speaking at Winter Jam, and okay. Speaking is kind of like a loose term. I was up there while they were moving the set behind me for 10 minutes and talking about David and Goliath. So it was, but this is before I was actually a speaker or doing that kind of thing. And Lou and Shelley were there with Crowder, and they saw me do this 10-minute thing. Yeah. I came off the stage, and I didn't know Lou and Shelley. And Louis said, God has anointed you to speak to this generation, and he's going to use your voice in an incredible way. And I was like, wow, I didn't even really know how to respond to that. And he said, I want you to come preach at Passion City Church this summer. And I said, I don't know if you are mistaken, but I don't do that. I've never preached before. I don't know if Passion is the place to start. And so, because it's just big. I mean, that just was very intimidating. And I said, the max I've spoken is 10 minutes on this stage. So 45 minutes to a church seems a little intimidating. He said, no, I want you to do it. If you'll say yes, I want you to speak at the college night this summer. And I remember going, okay, and I was terrified. I was so scared out of my mind. But I said yes. And there's a verse in scripture, and it says, from the heart, so the mouth shall speak. And I remember thinking about that verse after he asked me and thinking, I better make sure my heart is pure, because if I'm about to start talking with a microphone, I want whatever to come out to be pure in heart, and that's I want it to be on the Lord. And so I deleted social media right after he asked me to speak, and I took off 2.5 months leading up to when I was going to speak at Passion, because I knew I just need to be in the Word. I just have to be in the Word. I studied the Word like I've never studied it before, because I was like clinging to the truth.
Yeah.
To this day, now I've spoken for the past like 4 years, never has one video since I've done has gone as viral as that message did. That was the most viral any message has ever gone that I've ever preached. And after that, everyone was like thinking I'm a preacher. And I was like, I guess I am, but I've only spoke one time. But it was amazing. And that really, that structure is really how I want to live my life. To everything goes on pause for the Word first. And it's kind of like when Jesus sat with Peter. This is like one of my favorite stories. And they're having breakfast, and Jesus says, do you love me? He says, yes, Lord. He says, then feed my sheep. Then he says, do you love me? Yes, Lord. You know I love you. Well, then feed my sheep. One more time, he asks, do you love me? And Peter's frustrated. You know I love you. And he's like, feed my sheep. And it was just this moment to be like, okay, I'm in relationship with you before I do anything for you. You know, I'm in relationship with you before I go. And Jesus did this with God before he would go do miracles. He would sit with the Lord on the mountainside, just him and God. And he would just pray. Gosh, I wish we knew what the words he was saying to the Lord in those moments. But he would always center himself in relationship with God before he would go do anything for the Lord, because he was first just loved by God, and then he was called to do something for God. And I think about that a lot. I mean, with social media, even the past 2 weeks, I took off social media. I'm speaking every weekend the next 3 weeks, and I was like, I just need to be with the Lord for a minute. I just need to center my heart, be in relationship with God, soak up some scripture, so that when I get to a stage, that's what comes out of me.
Yes.
So that when I get on my phone, that's what comes out of me. And the first thing that came out last night when I got back on social media was, you know, a light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never overcome that light. So because that's in me, that's what flows out of me.
Yep.
And everyone does that. Whatever's in you, it flows out of you, whether that is good or that is bad. And that to me was like the best accountability ever, is that verse. When you have a microphone, you're extra aware of it. When you have a large platform, you're extra aware of it. But man, even in life, like I said, you are an influencer by design. Everywhere you walk, you're influencing people, because your mouth holds the power of life and death.
Yes.
So consider that, you know, to take that seriously. And so the, you know, disciplines or the principles or the rhythms, I think it's just that step. Do you love me?
Yeah.
Feed my sheep.
Yeah.
Do you love me? So just getting in relationship with God, then going and doing what the Lord calls you to do.
Yeah. You know, it's one of my, when I first got involved with Pastor Louis, Passion et al., I remember being at an event and they're like, hey, can you just like go on stage and talk for 10 minutes? I was like, about what? And they were like, feel the space. I'm like, feel the space? I don't know what that means. And then I looked at the band like, is this insane? And they were like, no, we got you. I'm like, you've got me. I don't know what it means. But I walked up there and I was like, Lord, do I have anything to say? And I felt like he was like, yeah, what I was telling you this morning, you know, like, I'm like, oh man, yeah. And I'm like, that's not why I have a devotional life. But now that's just normal. And if you serve around here, it's normal. Like, here's the mic. Tell us what's going on. And you're like, the Lord is, you know, and you're going to say something. Buckle up. I love that. And to me, it's bled into, hey, that's true everywhere.
Yeah.
It's not just true on a mic. That's true everywhere I go. Do I have something to say? Do I have a reason for the hope that's in me? And I want to have that. This is not a hard pivot, because here, reality is, I read a report a couple of years ago that showed a correlation between the introduction of broadband internet into a country and a decrease in birth rates. And they were like, we can't prove causation, but it's weird how this keeps happening, that with the onslaught of all of us working on devices, there has been less time with friends, less dating, less marriage, that sort of thing, later marriage. And yet in the midst of that, you're successful, going for it, young, bright, gorgeous, you see her and take a shot.
Yep.
And it works.
Somehow.
And then you asked her on more dates, and then you asked her to marry you.
And now we have a child.
And now you have a child. How did you do that, Christian?
Your book.
Tell us the story. No, don't tell
me. I'm joking. No, so really, when we met Sadie, I was super passionately following Jesus at the time.
Yeah.
If we would have met, I don't know, a year and a half before that, maybe that would it would have not gone well.
Okay.
So really, I don't know, through high school, early on in college, I just never had pursued a girl. I was big with, I struggled a lot with Snapchat, really just the hookup culture idea. And then really met Jesus when I got to college. And I met Sadie, and I just knew that if this was ever gonna work, then I was gonna have to really be intentional and really pursue, which wasn't normal to me because I'd never done it before. And I had had so many mentors, so many friends that I had studied with, because before I even read your book, my freshman year of college, I lived about 3 hours from like where I went to school, from where I lived. And every drive home and back, I would listen to the podcast from Breakaway Ministries, which is why I was so excited when the book came out, because I could read it.
It's great.
But I was listening to it, then just so many just relationship stuff that I had literally just soaked on before we ever met, because it wasn't just like, you know, we didn't just meet, then I just learned all this on my own. I had really studied and really gotten in love with Jesus, and I'd studied a lot on like how to actually pursue a woman purely, because I'd never done that before. So when me and Sadie met, we met at the beach, and then she did not follow me on social media. I was not famous. She followed me back, saw that I had DM'd her a few years prior.
Again, it's a good thing we didn't meet then, though.
Even when I DM'd her, I wasn't a good person.
You were a good person.
But I was not doing good things.
Fair.
Which is why I don't know. I shot my shot. But the Lord laughed and said, "Maybe in 2 years you'll have that moment." So we texted back and forth for a little bit, and then asked her on a date. This was in July, and then she said, "In September we can go on a date," which was 2 months away. So I was like, "Okay." But in those 2 months, we really just got to, we talked on the phone, it was like friendship, you know, it wasn't anything romantic or anything like that, it was just getting to know one another.
We read through the book of Proverbs, and this is actually funny, for you ladies, this is a good idea. So, since I was in seventh grade, my Bible teacher at school said something about a Proverbs challenge, when, you know, you meet your spouse, or whenever you're dating people, why don't you go through the book of Proverbs together? I had gone through the book of Proverbs. I had tried with so many people. We'd trail off about, you know, chapter 7, chapter 11, whatever. Okay. This is the only one that made it to Proverbs 31, and he got the woman, okay? So that's what I'm saying. It was actually a good thing. We actually went through Proverbs together throughout those 2 months. Because I just told him, I'm not really ready for a relationship, but I'll get to know you.
Yeah.
And so we got to know each other really on the Word of God, and we would send each other sermons, and we would send each other books to read, and we read books together, we listened to sermons together for 2 months, and like no flirting, no like, I like you, you're cute, obviously we were thinking that, but that never came out. It was just, we're getting to know each other on a good foundation, and it was really beneficial. Yeah.
Well, because even before that, I'd had a lot of people say like, you know, and I think people say it often with good intentions, but like, you know, if you're dating or if you're going towards that, maybe don't pray together, don't read scripture together, because, you know, there's like that soul connection and like the spirit kind of stuff, which I can understand that idea. But then I'm also like, if that's what you're living, then it's at some point it's going to just come out, you know?
Yeah.
And I think you look at our culture now and it's like, well, I think you could argue that we need more dating couples praying together and like, so whatever. But for us, like that was a really big thing of like, so I remember we were in the car, we were driving from Nashville to Auburn for a football game to meet my family, and Sadie started like praying in the car for our conversation. Now I was just thinking, I was like, are we allowed to be doing this together right now?
Are we allowed?
Are we like breaking some rule?
No.
But it was just so intentional, so organic. And then, we dated for 9 months long distance. Then we got engaged, spent the summer together when I was building duck calls in West Monroe, actually, for 2 months.
Okay.
That was kind of like my initiation.
Yeah, I was about to say. They put you to work.
Then we got married 5 months after that. Married 5 months after that. It was just keep being intentional. Like, we dated long distance. I think I saw her every single weekend I like rearranged my whole class schedule to where I had classes on like Tuesdays and Thursdays so I could be up there longer on the weekends. Had to study a lot more to do that. But yeah, it was just intentionality. And like I said, I'd never done that before. But it just was very worth it, obviously.
Yeah. Truly pursued. Like, you know, Christian doesn't speak in front of people a lot, and he was nervous about this today. And I said, you know, you don't have to be nervous because this is just your life. You know, when you live and you lead a good life, you don't really have to be nervous about what you're going to say in response to things, you know? And I think that kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier. When I was in high school, you know, I kind of felt like I had to be a hypocrite when I was on social media because I wanted to, you know, really be the person I was portraying myself to be, but I wasn't, you know? But then when I started living a good life, it was amazing to feel that pressure go off of like, I didn't have to show up feeling like trying to be anybody I wasn't or wanting to look better than I was or, you know, struggle with that perfectionism because I was authentically living who I really am.
Yes.
And I think there's just an ease that comes with that, friends. Like when you can lay off that perfection or lay off that what you think you have to be someone people want you to be and just be who God made you to be, there's just an ease to your life. And so it was cool for Christian today because I was like, you really did pursue me so well. All you have to do is tell your story and that preaches. And so I think it's really cool just to remind us of the story and that in itself. If you're a guy here and you're pursuing a girl, man, he did a great job.
Come on.
Well, thank you. but I said what I said at the beginning too because like I don't want anybody to look up here and think that we have it all figured out or like when I pursued say that I did it perfectly because I didn't. But like I said, that was the first time I'd ever done that. Like every other thing, relationship, whatever you want to call it before that was not done that way. So like I just had never done it right until me and Sadie met. I did not have it all figured out. I studied a lot. I really started to love Jesus. And out of that came a successful, healthy relationship.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think about, I mean, even what you were saying. One, it takes initiation or it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And so you just go, okay, I'm willing, I'm secure enough in myself to risk. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's what we live in a culture today that sort of stirs up an insecurity. Mm-hmm. But I think you're security enough to, I'm going to risk rejection is good. And then you had fuel for your conversation to burn on. I think that's what a lot of people are like, I don't even know what to talk about. Yeah. But you have this common interest.
Yeah.
And it kept you from just like, oh, well, let's just talk about our romance or let's talk about our relationship. You go, no, we actually have a substance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's how friendships form. Friendship forms when you both value a thing together. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the thing you value is the most valuable thing, that doesn't mean everyone who loves Jesus should get married to each other, but that's the basis of a good friendship. That means 2 months in, you have something.
Yeah.
You're either gonna be better individuals, or you're gonna be a great couple.
That's so good, because I think sometimes in relationships and dating relationships, if your foundation is only built on y'all, then you really do only talk about the same things. It's like, hey, what's up, babe? Nothing much, how about you? And then it's like, miss you, love you. And then like, you don't have that much to talk about, which those are all great things. Of course, we say those things to each other too. But there's more of a depth, there's more of a conversation, and even our daughter's name is Honey, and that really came from when we read Proverbs together. In Proverbs 16, I remember we read that gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones, and we loved that verse. And I had been in some pretty bad relationships before, and I told Christian, I said, man, you have words like honey. They are sweet and they are strong. And they are, like, we just talked about this, and so by his name on my phone, I had like a honey pot because of that verse. And then we named our daughter Honey after that moment.
Come on.
So we had so many cool things that we had like talked about and built a foundation on that still are being talked about in our life today.
Yes.
And we always speak over our daughter that she is sweet and she is strong. Yeah. And she will speak words that are sweet and strong over people. And so, gosh, I'm just so thankful we talked about some deeper things because now it's really coming into play in our life.
Yeah.
But even you said initiation, because like you said, Sadie was the first girl that I ever pursued. But then again, she was also the first one that I ever like actually asked out. And because I did have the thought, I was like, if I ask her out and she says no, like we don't live near each other. So I was like, we might never talk again. Like, and I genuinely had that thought, but then like you said, I just risked it and she said yes. But yeah, I do think that guys don't take initiation, whether it's, you know, just fear of being rejected or, you know, really just the hookup mindset culture of like, I don't want to commit. Like people, we have, you know, people have committal issues. But I do think that if people want to see successful, healthy relationships, that guys do need to step up and be intentional and initiate conversations. And yes, don't make it all romantic, but just, you know, start friendship and from there,
yeah,
see what happens.
Yeah. And that commitment's a loss of options, but yeah, it's a gain of intimacy. And yeah, I think we live in a culture now that wants to keep all options open. You go, I don't think you realize how much that's costing you.
Yeah, that's
good. So you launched, I'll tell you, Christian, one of the things I liked about you, meeting you right away, is I'm like, okay, you, when you talk about the word of God, the things of God, integrity, that the inside matches the out, I watched you light up. You know, I'm like, this is someone who cares about that in your life and in other guys' life. And I like that about you. And then you launched a podcast, 4-8. Tell us what 4-8 is about. Why is it called that? Yeah. And then also, like, why are you passionate about helping men? What is it about that you really like, I want to say this to guys?
Yeah. So my podcast is 4-8 Men, but it's off of 1 Timothy 4:8, where Paul tells Timothy that physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. So
you physically train some too?
Yes, a little bit.
I'm just kidding, obviously.
A little bit.
That was a joke.
But yeah, so it's like, because... Why are you laughing? Well, because for me, physical training, like, I don't know, I grew up playing sports.
Yeah.
I was a washed up baseball player, so I just love training. And because for me, on the flip side of training, I've also been on the unhealthy side of it. You know, the idolizing what I look like and all those other things. And for me, that verse was just so key because, you know, Paul acknowledges it. He says it's of some value, but godliness has value for all things. So I try to, like, encourage men to train their bodies physically, but in return, how do I challenge you to train yourself spiritually?
Yeah.
And for me, I think a lot of them, you know, coincide. So for me, when I'm working out in the gym or if I'm going on a run, I'm either listening to a sermon, a podcast, worship music, something spiritual. Because I always say, like, if you're training your body physically, be thinking about how you can train yourself spiritually.
Yeah.
Because I've just found, like, you know, if you're working out and you're listening to something secular, then I'm looking at my biceps or I'm like, you know, you're in a worldly mindset. And I've had so many spiritual conversations with guys in the gym because I've been listening to worship music. And I know that if I was listening to something else, then I wouldn't be in that headspace.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to call men to actually be men, quit being addicted to pornography, actually live a life that God's called you to live. Take responsibility, be humble, you know, don't be a dude, be actually a man that God's called you to be.
100%.
So good.
That's what I'm super passionate about.
Yeah.
That's so good. Christian, he had a moment in college with his friends. They were doing a Bible study together. And he said each week they'd come and they would all talk about what they struggle with. And it would be the same thing every single week. And there came a moment where they were like, okay, are we actually going to do something about it? Or are we just going to keep coming and saying we struggle with the same thing? And they put practical things into play to really, you know, get rid of the sin that was in their life. And just had this radical, I remember hearing about this when we started dating. I was like, that is the coolest thing ever, you know? Mm-hmm. And now he's leading other men to do that. And I just think it's awesome. I mean, it's so true. Like, I love what you said, quit being a dude and be a man. And it's amazing that every time he's in the gym, like, he'll call me after and be like, oh, this is so cool. I'm going to lunch with this high schooler tomorrow because he came and helped me squat this and blah, blah, blah. And we had a conversation about Jesus. And I'm like, that's what it means to, like, be an influencer everywhere you go.
Yes.
And, like, his platform and his ministry, it's helping thousands of people who listen, but it's helping, like, guys in the gym every single day. And I just think that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I do too. And that's what I've seen in you that I've seen come alive that I like. That it's not about, well, how do I leverage this moment for me? It's like, no, I'm in the name of Jesus ministering to people, whether anyone else sees it or not. And I like that.
Thanks. Yeah, because we always say what we do globally, we want to do locally. So we don't want to do these global things, but then not in our hometown, you know, just not be the people that we are when we travel.
Yeah.
I love taking guys to lunch that, because it's also a relatability aspect too with fitness. You know, it's like, if I go in the gym and I'm not super strong, there's no credibility really, then somebody might not come ask me a question. But I've had numerous people be like, hey, I can't believe you're doing this. And it's like, well, actually, this is not that cool. Let me tell you about this. So that's even the, it's even like an incentive to like, to train harder, to like actually be able to perform well, because it attracts more people to come have conversations with.
Yes, so. Yeah. You've earned their respect in an area they understand.
Yeah.
And then you can journey into another area,
yeah.
Which I think is part of it. Well, I love, you know, there's a passage, I got to look up where it is, I don't remember, but it's about David, and it's, he refers at one point to his guys as lion-faced men. And I thought, I really like that. I want to be that. God has given us agency with our lives. There's a lot we don't control, but there's little bits we do, and we get to decide, will I be faithful with what he gave me?
Yeah.
I've got a mouth I can use. I got a heart. What am I putting in it?
Yeah.
I'm going to have faith or I'm gonna have fear. I'm gonna make a choice to either care about this kid or blow him off. Like, I get to live my life, and he'll hold me accountable for that. He'll empower that if I trust him. I wanna live a life that means something. And again, all of us get various, like you said, influences, opportunities. Every one of us has a life to steward. And I respect that you have stewarded people towards hope in Jesus, integrity in him, freedom from sin, believing in him, following him, trusting him. And so thank you for that. Thank you for making that choice and how inspiring it's been to us as a community, as a church. I just want to say God bless you guys. We're praying for you. And I'd love to pray for everybody here. You know, I don't know. I mean, obviously, I don't know all you guys. Some of you are like, yeah, I love Jesus too. I'm going to read my Bible more. And you should. Some of you are like, yeah, what? What are you talking about? And what we're talking about is we believe that Jesus Christ wasn't just an inspirational moral teacher. He's the Son of God. And his arrival on planet was God's declaration of love for us. For God so loved the world that he sent his Son, that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish but have life. So we think life comes from that man, that he lived the perfect life we could not. He died the death we deserved and then raised from the dead. And so all the guilt and shame and mistakes that we've talked about in our lives, he says, I want to take that from you. I want to pay for that. I want to bury that. And I want to give my supernatural life to you, my spirit to you in Jesus. So I just say that to you if you're like, man, what is it that motivates these people? It's not the fame. It's not the money. It's the fact that there is a God in heaven who loves us and we live for him.
If you were encouraged by today's talk, be sure to rate us and hit subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcast. To experience other talks, videos, and live gatherings, visit us online at PassionCityChurch.com or download the Passion Movement app. And again, thank you for listening to the Passion City Church DC podcast.